Genesis 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come, thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee will I have seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, into the ark, because of the waters of the flood. Of clean beasts, and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls, and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and the 3 wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, 2 and 2 of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gulliver. Well, you've made it through another week. I hope you've had a few days of rest or freedom from the week's constant grind. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. Jesus said to his disciples, "Come apart and rest a while." And they did. You will find the benefit of that too. Step back from the week's routine and you will be renewed to take it further. Last week I preached in church about how to keep the Sabbath holy. Some people immediately think when I mention Sabbath that I mean Saturday. No, I mean no such thing. I have no hesitation at all to say God fully intended New Testament believers to keep the first day of the week as their day of rest and worship unto Him. Christians worship on Sundays because the Lord Jesus rose from the grave on the first day of the week. Each time he appeared to the disciples, it was on the first day of the week. And after Pentecost, the early church met for worship and communion on the first day of the week. Saturday worship became the sole practice of the Jews. So don't let the Seventh-day Adventists load you down with guilt for not meeting on Saturday. They are far from the truth, and they sow discord. They throw up a roadblock to the peace of believers who take the cue of the first century church to worship on the first day of the week. Rome did not create Sunday worship. The Lord Jesus did, and the disciples put it into practice. We read in Acts 20, verse 7, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight." Now, that not only tells us that there was a long sermon, and not only that God's people loved the word, but it was on the first day of the week. That's Acts 20, verse 7. That's the practice of the early church in the New Testament. And the Christian church has consistently carried and held to that right through the centuries. And I hope that you will too. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, and I pray the Lord will wonderfully bless you through his word today. May this mix of music and Bible time thrill your heart and lift your soul into the heavenlies. May you soar with God in the Spirit. Remember how John the Apostle was in the Spirit on the Lord's day? That can happen to you too. Let's pray for that. Bow with me in prayer. Father, we thank thee for the blessedness of meeting with God on the first day of the week. And I pray that we might learn to keep that day and prepare for that day. Let us be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And I pray that there might be that gracious, ready preparation of heart so that we can just burst in through that church door and offer up our praises and our worship to the Lord our God. Thank you, our Heavenly Father, for giving us your Son. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who indwells, and for giving us this first day of the week, that we may keep it separate, that we might do as you did on the week of creation, rest on that day and hallow it. So we pray that you will draw near. O Lord, bless your people, lift us up, give us faith and grace and encouragement in the Lord Jesus. Minister to us through the word and through these hymns. We ask it all in the mighty, wonderful, precious name of our Lord Jesus.
To speak to the boys and girls, and I hope that you will listen in real well today, because I want to talk to you about the man who saw the first rainbow which God put into the sky. Now, the Bible says that during the flood in Noah's time, the rain fell for 40 days and 40 nights, nonstop. Torrents of rain poured down, causing that flood to cover the whole earth. And for 150 days, the water covered every mountaintop that nothing was seen. And then after that 150 days, the water began to go down and things became a little bit visible. Noah didn't see any trees for 10 months. And he was in the ark with all those animals for a total of 1 year and 10 days. Now, he must have been very busy looking after all those animals in the ark for about a year. But I think that God helped Noah by putting many of those animals to sleep. There are certain species of animals that hibernate for weeks and months on end. And it's quite possible that God caused many of the animals in the ark to go to sleep for a long, long time. And so it would have been much easier for Noah to manage a sleeping lion than to manage a hungry, roaring lion. Now, I don't want you to believe the artist's drawings of Noah's Ark with a row of windows on the side with the animals' heads looking out. You will see that in many picture books where you have the giraffe's head and the sheep and the goats and the cats and all the other animals, and as if they're on along for a joyful ride looking at the scene out the side windows. The Bible tells us that the Ark had but one window, and that was on the top. There was a covering for it during the time of rain, but when the sun shone, then it was time to remove that covering and to get the fresh air and the sunshine coming in. Now, after the rain stopped and after he had hoped that the earth was visible again, Noah sent out a raven. That would be a large black bird. But it never returned, because ravens, they eat on carcasses and dead flesh. And so Noah later sent out a dove to see if the earth was now again habitable. But that dove came back again with nothing. And so it would take more time for life to return. Noah then sent out a second dove, and we are told that it returned with an olive leaf plucked off from a tree. Now that told Noah that the water was receding and the earth was returning to life again. And so finally God gave to Noah the command to go forth from the ark. And that must have been a happy day when the door opened, when the few people that were in the ark, Noah, his wife, three sons and their wives, eight people in all, and all the animals went skipping down the plank onto the new earth after the flood. How free they would have been, felt in the fresh air and in the sunshine. They knew that God's judgment was over. All the wicked people were gone from the earth. They had perished in the flood that covered the whole worldwide flood. And so the world was safe again. And Noah and his family knew that God had been good to them. He had been kind to them by saving them in that ark from the flood. And so to offer thanks to God, Noah took some of the clean animals and he offered up a sacrifice. Even though he was in a new world with a new beginning and all the sinners, the wicked people were gone, it was still right to offer up a sacrifice in thanksgiving unto God, which was very pleasing unto the Lord. And right away, God promised Noah that he would not curse the ground anymore. And he promised that while the earth remained, there would be seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. What a great promise. And that promise we have fulfilled right to this day. Did you get any apples this year? That was because there was the seasons, springtime, summer, harvest, seed time and harvest. Did you eat vegetables this week? Did you eat fruit this week or cereal from grain? And that's again because God kept his promise and has given to the nations of the world seed time and harvest, summer and winter, and the seasons God keeps absolutely faithfully. Now, I'm sure that Noah and his wife, their three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, along with their wives, they worried about that rain, that ridiculous rain that fell for 40 days and 40 nights. And as they looked up into the sky, they would have seen clouds forming here and there. And they would have been filled with fear that again, that rain of judgment would fall upon them. And they would have been asking, what if that rain comes again? And what if for another 40 days and 40 nights that will turn into a flood? Are we going to live with this fear constantly under God's judgment? They may have wondered, is that the kind of God that we live under? Is he such a God who will just snap his fingers and send such a judgment upon us again? Well, the Bible is very clear that God is not only able to judge sin. Oh, he will. God proved that in the flood. And all who turned wicked, all who rejected God's way of salvation in the ark, were destroyed. God does judge sin, and we must always remember that. But that's not only what he does. He is also able to pardon sin and to pardon it totally and show great mercy even to those who are guilty. Our God is merciful, who loves his own people and will always bless his own people despite, not because of, but in spite of their own sins. And so the answer to that big question about God's true nature is in the beautiful rainbow which God put in the sky. And God promised that he would never again destroy the world by a flood. And to establish that promise, he put that rainbow in the sky. A rainbow that starts in the ground, goes up in a perfect arch, and returns to the ground. And I'm sure you may have seen such a rainbow on a rainy day when it was sort of sunny at the same time. And that is when you will see that rainbow. Now, a rainbow has seven beautiful colors: red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. And you can remember them by the person's name, Roy G. Biv. Red, orange, yellow, G for green, and B-I-V, that's blue, indigo, violet. Now, that rainbow is God's covenant. It is his sure promise that he will never again judge the world by a flood. And the rainbow is therefore a symbol of God's mercy. And it reminds us that it reminds God also of his promises to always deal in mercy. Now, when you read the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 4, you will read there that that rainbow is now in heaven, and it's like a circle around the throne. And so every day, God is reminded of his own promise, indeed of his own nature of mercy. God also has fulfilled that promise. not only by putting a rainbow in the sky, but by giving us his own son to go to the cross and to pay the price, the judgment of God upon all sin. And on that cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus bore all the wrath that is due to his covenant believing people. And if you are a Christian, a believer in the Lord Jesus, then you can rejoice that God will only always deal with you in mercy. Think of the rainbow. Think of what God promised to Noah. That promise is now made to us through God's only Son. Now, the Bible is clear that God gave the rainbow. He put it in the sky as his unfailing mercy. And Christians can rejoice every time that you see that rainbow, that God is a faithful and a wonderful Savior who will never forget his promises of mercy. Now, there are people who want to do different things with the symbol of that rainbow, but only God can put a rainbow in the sky. People can put a rainbow on the street, people can use it as a sign, but only God can put that symbol of the rainbow right in the sky as a covering arch to tell the story that our God is a God of unfailing mercy. And all who trust in the Lord Jesus as their Savior are safe, saved. God will never judge you for your sin because you are trusting in the Lord Jesus alone as your Savior. So, boys and girls, remember Noah, the first man to see the rainbow in the sky. And every time you see that rainbow, remember, God delights in mercy, and he will save his people by the mercies that the Lord Jesus purchased for us at the cross of Calvary. Thank you for listening. And remember, you can go to the website and you can not only read that story, you can get the handout, the quiz for the children. There's a PDF right down at the bottom. As you scroll down to the bottom, you can print that out and, of course, send it in. And we look forward to receiving that.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Isn't it a wonder that around God's throne there is a constant rainbow, a reminder of the mercy of God to his people at all times? I want you to think of the reasons that fill us with assurance that God will never forget to be merciful. There is that rainbow that was given to Noah, a covenant that was made with the people of the earth, that he would never again destroy the world by water. And that is a wonderful promise. And in it, there is the guarantee of mercy to every one of God's people. We are not set for judgment. We are headed for mercy, everlasting covenant mercy. Secondly, the covenant of grace that was made between the Father and the Son assures us of God's mercy. God will not break that covenant. Christ has fulfilled every obligation, finished the work, ascended to glory, and is now given the keys of the kingdom, having finished, completed the covenant of grace. The work of our Lord's redemption is another reason. What he did on that cross was perfect. His blood was atoning. It reconciles. It bridges the great gulf between the deepest dyed sinner and the holiness of the everlasting, majestic God of heaven. Christ has offered atonement and reconciled us. Then also we have the Holy Spirit, who has come as a seal to our redemption. And that's a wonderful seal, a certainty, an assurance. It is the final deal that God has made us his very own. Also, another reason why we will be dealt with by mercy, the Word of God will never pass away. 1 Peter 1:24 says, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away." And then again, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." So the gospel really is God's word. It's his promise. And God cannot forget his promises. He will keep his own word. One final reason that God's going to deal with us in mercy. Jesus said it. "Fear not. Let not your heart be troubled. I am coming again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." What a wonderful assurance. I want you to have that assurance today. Let's pray for it. Father, we thank thee for the blessed assurance that Jesus has finished the work, that there is peace with God, that there is mercy, everlasting, unending mercy for every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Draw sinners today to look unto Jesus and grant, Lord, that you will, by your Spirit, call them into personal faith and communion with thyself. We ask this all through the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.